okay, but just think that was a really pertinent question, a point to raise. And I obviously am not a clinically qualified member of this board. And it is already causing this, we've seen patients, members of the community write to us and asking us the same question. So I think there is a gap between what we as lay people believe is effective and what our good clinicians and NICE have decided actually isn't. And there is something, you know, back pain is a good example. Some of the studies I read is people, all the randomised studies that they've done, the people who had injections and those didn't, actually within the course of a period of time, both had adequate results. So whether or not you had the injection with a period of time and maybe some gentle exercises, your back pain would have resolved anyway. So I do think this is a very contentious list. We certainly are getting members of our community coming forward and saying, why can't I now have that? And there is something that, you know, we probably are going to be able to pick up with us at some point in the future, because perception and reality is somewhat different, areas that that our community will come at that from. But it is already taxing us, the government's through NHSE's list of now no longer available procedures.
So, well, just an action off of that, if we can get the list, Jillian, if that's all right, and just circulate it to the board for interest. That's the best way I put it up, and that way we've got it. I'm sure the media are well capable of picking it up one way or another. Okay, well, sorry, I'll go Cathy then, Jim.
Sorry, just to come back on ASD provision, and I just wanted to echo Dom's comments really, is about what we're doing as a whole system around this. Diagnosis is one part of that journey. I wanted to highlight that in order to have an EHCP plan, you do not have to have a diagnosis, and our SEN colleagues are really clear about that. So there is support that can be built in from an educational health and social care perspective that doesn't rely around having a diagnosis. Our short breaks provision is not reliant on having a diagnosis. And just to highlight, there is a short breaks open day tomorrow, and it's up at the Medina Leisure Centre, which will be promoting all of the availability of short break activities and the programme for the island all day. So I just wanted to highlight that. But it is about how we work together. It is about what we're delivering in terms of children's services, around parenting programmes to support parents in how they manage behaviour, and actually have strategies to support their children, as well as our education colleagues. And then I couldn't let it drop to, we've been on a huge improvement journey in children's services as well, and I think in terms of where we've got to in terms of our education establishments being rated good, there has been a significant leap forward in the last 4 years, and actually I think we've got some really good provision on the island now. Equally, our exclusion data and our absence data has dramatically improved over the last 4 years. We are hoping, obviously, with GCSE results coming out shortly, that we will see that step change there, but actually getting those basics in that the majority of schools on the island now are rated good. The vast majority is a significant improvement. So I think we need to change our narrative around education, because that's about supporting recruitment to the island and retention to the island. And I think we've all got a role to play in that.
You don't need to respond to the last bit, Tim. But I think you wanted to comment on that.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to just to talk a bit about this list of procedures which are deemed to be no longer so effective. Yes, I've seen the list, and actually, in many ways, I'd like to reassure people. I've got no axe to grind at all whether what's on the list and what's not on the list. But I skimmed down the list, and there's one or two things that are sort of obscure procedures which I don't frankly know much about. But for example, Councillor Brady mentions the back injections. And I think if you're talking about backs as well, treatments evolved. And say 10, 15 years ago, everybody was having discs out, and then there was a phase for fusing people's spines with bits of iron bunkering. And then there was a for removing discs and squirting some sort of balloon-like substance in there instead. All these things have been rigorously assessed in clinical trials, not just in the UK, but internationally. And the results, the subjects that, or the procedures on this list have really been put there because the results of these meta-analyses in really big trials of tens of thousands of people show that, frankly, in most cases, the vast majority, they don't work. And the other important thing is to realise they can actually make people worse. As a GP, we see an awful lot of people now with what they call failed back syndrome, which is people who've had back surgery in the past and are now left in a much worse state than they were originally. So we must remember, as doctors and clinical staff, first do no harm. It's very, very easy to do harm, and you must try to avoid that. Another thing off the list I just mentioned is knee surgery, arthroscopy for torn cartilages. Now, when in my youth, all my sporty friends were having their cartilages removed from their knees, and it was a very, very commonly done operation. Last year, I read in the British Medical Journal big trials coming out which have said that actually you're just as well off, in most cases, for middle-aged people with damaged knees, with torn cartilages, you're just as well off having a course of physiotherapy. And don't let some orthopaedic surgeon go juggling around inside your knee, pulling out various bits, because those bits are there for a reason. They work with shock absorbers in your knee, and if you take them out, you have no longer got your shock absorber, and you're going to end up with far worse arthritis. So, as I say, I've got no axe to grind on these procedures at all, but I'd just like to reassure people, if I can, that as far as, in the view of one humble provincial doctor, I think there's good logic behind that list, and the NICE, the National Institute of Health and Care Excellence, draws up its guidelines based on the assiduous study of lots of very clever professors and research people who sift through all these international papers and draw their conclusions. So I think if the topic's on this, there could be a good reason for it. And the other important thing to remember is that all these clinical staff can therefore, rather than spending their time on ineffective procedures, that frees them up to spend their time on activities which are probably more useful. Thank you,
Chair. Thank you, Tim. I have a feeling that your presence at future meetings from time to time will probably entertain us for your interesting way of diagnosing things. As somebody that had the operation on my knee, extending my fantastic football career for another 10 years. So, sweet about that. So, thank you for that. So, Maggie, we'll back to you now.
Thanks, Dave. And in the spirit of what's been said already about the report, I would introduce Claire Woodman to you. I know some people have met her, but Claire joined us last month as our new board secretary. I know she's already had some conversations, I think, with the environment. We'll look at whatever the feedback is from this meeting to improve this. Most of what I've talked about, what I wanted to say, was already in the earlier discussion. I do just want to spend a couple of minutes on the significant, on our strategic risk. And I wanted to point out that of the 11 strategic risk boards identified in currently, nine of them have stayed the same scoring that they've got during quarter one. Two have improved, and both of those, please say, are around both the quality and safety of our services, and our key risks remain our financial position and our ability to recruit the right numbers of staff and our ability to retain and train the staff that we do recruit in our existing staff group. But I have nothing else to add to any questions that people may have.
Thank you for that, Maggie. Any questions on the report? Very well, we've covered quite a bit. No, I think that's it then.
Chair, to follow up on one final thing, just to satisfy my curiosity, Maggie introduced the lady at the back. There's two chaps out at the back throughout the entire meeting, and the public would get banished up to there. Who are they, please?
I'm Oliver Kramer. I'm the Trust Deputy Medical Director, and I'm standing in for Alistair Cloud, who are Executive Medical Director.
Thank you.
Hi, my name's Neil Cannon. I'm Director of Operations of Surgery at Royal Bournemouth Hospital. I'm here observing someone on the MyBevan programme with Fireman's Deputy Judy Dyers.
Thank you for that, and thank you, Jeff. Actually, I only saw one of them sneak in. I didn't see the second one.
One of them introduced himself, Robert.
Yeah, well, I should have done that. And if you don't know, John Nicholson at the back there is our Chair of Health and Adult Social Care Scrutiny. He's also an observer. And nice to meet you again. So, good point taken there, Jeff. Okay, members, I've got members around.